Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio Network. This is not Tim Wildman. He'll be in the studio here shortly. Walker Wildman here, co-hosting Today's Issues, this Monday edition. Fred Jackson in studio with us. Glad to have you with us. A couple of different things that we want to tell you about before we get the show started. You can always visit our website, AFR.net. AFR.net is a great way to keep up with American Family Radio. We also have an app, which over 100,000 people utilize and download the app each day. So you can go to the App Store and just type in AFR and download the AFR app. So various ways to keep up with the radio show.
Yeah, I apologize. I'm late there. The secretary, Tim Wildman here. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good morning.
Morning, Walker. I'll just come clean. I'm sitting here typing an email in my office, and my assistant Cindy says, hey, it's 10:04. No, wait, it's 10:05. And so I said, hold my coffee. I'm sprinting. So I sprinted the, what is that, Walker, maybe 30 yards?
At least, yeah, from your office to here.
So if I'm a little winded, you'll have to apologize. I mean, you'll have to accept my apology. Anyway, coffee in hand and ready to go here.
Alive and well.
That's right. Thanks for joining us, everybody, on Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Walker and Fred. So much to talk about. We got some guests, too, don't we, Walker?
We do. We're going to have Jason and David Benham, the Benham brothers. We'll have them here in a little while to talk about one of their latest projects or initiatives.
Okay.
And then, secondly, we'll have Senator Angela Hill from Mississippi, a Mississippi State Senator Angela Hill, to talk about a bill very important to the state of Mississippi.
Well, and also it's going to be coming up across the country, and that is, can a legislature, a state legislature, pass a law, pass a bill that prevents boys from competing in girls' athletics. Mm-hmm. That's basically that simple.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that today because that's becoming a problem across the country, believe it or not. And so they're trying to, other states perhaps are doing the same thing, but we wanted to talk about that on the program today. All right, Fred, what's happening besides the stock market tanking?
Yes. I tell you what, there was a movie back several years ago, High Anxiety. And I think that's where the world is this morning. And it all has to do with the coronavirus and downstream effects of all of this. So just about an hour ago, they actually halted trading on Dow Jones for about seven minutes.
That's highly unusual, isn't it?
Extremely unusual because there was a huge sell-off. Sell-off around 1,500, 1,600. It actually went over 2,000 for a few moments. So it was kind of a built-in 15-minute, everybody step back for a second.
It was a Tom Petty stock market, let's be honest with you.
Yeah, man.
Free-falling.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was free-falling, and they stopped it because you know, give everybody a chance to breathe.
Yes.
Go get some coffee. This has to do with the coronavirus panic across the globe, but it also has to do with there's a oil war going on between Saudi Arabia and Russia, right?
But it's all connected because there's concerns, the coronavirus, not as many people going to travel.
Right.
Therefore, you know, the people not traveling as much has an effect on how much fuel is used. So it's all connected in there. But to reference what you just said, the Saudis, the OPEC countries, at a time when not as much oil is being used, fuel is being used, they'll cut back production in order to keep their prices stable. What happened over the weekend is Russia said, we're actually going to up production. So that has upset the apple cart. And basically, there's too much oil out there on the out there for people to buy. That drives prices down. An old supply and demand thing going on. And so that drives prices down. That has had a tremendous impact on the Dow Jones this morning. But on the other hand, there is the whole concerns. People don't want to travel as much because of the coronavirus scare. So hotel stocks, airline stocks, all of those sorts of things. So it's a piling on of this. Just listening to Fox Business host Maria Bartiromo, she was just on Fox as the market was going through this gyration this morning. This is what she had to say, cut 14.
It's always, you know, interesting to be in the middle of it and see an 1,800-point sell-off and think the world is coming to an end. It's not. So I just want to say that at some point, there are going to be some important deep-pocketed investors who see this as a huge buying opportunity, and they're going to prop this market up. Because, you know, you look at a company, like I mentioned earlier, ExxonMobil, they're not going to cut their dividend. You know, they may cut CapEx spending. They may, you know, come up with cost savings moves, but they're not going to do something that actually changes the situation entirely for investors. So some of this is a huge overreaction.
Yeah, the thing is, people who've watched the stock market for an extended period of time, she's right. Maria Bartiromo from Fox News there, Fox Business, the market's going to come back up. It's just a matter of when. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to see a lot of investors who actually buy in right now as we speak. They're buying in, getting probably deals.
Yeah, but...
great deals.
You could say that. You could say that anytime, couldn't you? Well, what I'm saying is, you can't diminish the fact this thing's going down 2,000 points.
Yeah, no, this is
that
horrible.
May come back. Yeah,
it's horrible.
It's a bloodbath.
Yeah, it's a bloodbath, and people are losing billions of dollars today. But
I'm not.
No,
some people.
Yeah,
I don't mean to make fun of it. I'm
sure.
Just saying that.
I've lost hundreds. I went in at the worst time. My first time trying out the stock market. Guess when it was? It was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, Walker, that's bad luck, my friend.
But I'm in it for the long game.
Yes.
And what Bartiromo there is talking.
26.
What she's talking about is, yes, this is bad from a numbers standpoint, mm-hmm. which ends up affecting people's pocketbooks.
Sure.
But historically, it's going to come back.
I know. I know. It will.
It's just a matter of time. So you got to think about the long game.
Yeah, absolutely. Unless you're me and Fred over here,
and you're trying to retire. Yeah, I agree.
But that's why I don't mean to get into our all. We all have our personal tolerance as far as what we can put.
Yeah.
At risk, and mine's very low.
Yeah.
After 2008, I just decided to be happy with a little trodden. Mm-hmm. little turtle pace of investing. But I tell you what, here's the thing. We'll have to see how this bounces back, or if it does this mm-hmm. week. And the trickle effects of the coronavirus panic, by the way, again, who knows exactly? I personally don't think you're going to be able to stop this thing. I think it's just going to have to run its course around the world. It's just a matter of time. I don't mean to sound pessimistic or fatalistic on this flu-like virus, but how in the world do you stop something from traveling around the world mm-hmm. that spreads like this does? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think it's inevitable But did you know the 80% of people who get this don't even hardly know they have it?
Yeah, it's very mild symptoms.
And children, it doesn't affect. Mm-hmm. It's basically only deadly to people who have
existing conditions.
Yeah.
Elderly especially.
Yeah, and that's serious. I'm not diminishing that. You see, if that starts going through a nursing home,
right.
You can see several people pass away, obviously. But I'm just saying, again, to keep this in perspective, and obviously you can't because people are just freaking out.
Yeah.
Okay. The flu, just a regular old every year flu, has killed 20,000.
Minimum.
Has killed 20,000 people.
In this country.
Just in America.
Just in America.
Since the flu, in the last
few months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine every day if you woke up and on the front page of your newspaper and on your news and on your alerts on your phone, there was a message saying flu kills 20 more today in U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And every day that was amount.
And they were tracking it and posting it.
Every day. Imagine that. We don't even think about that
anymore. And to put things in perspective, 20,000 so far have died of the flu. And again, we're not making light of this. But so far from the coronavirus, it's about 22.
22 people in the U.S.
In the U.S.
Right.
As of a few moments ago. And 19 of those in Washington State.
Right.
All right? So keep
at
that
a nursing in, home, several
at,
of them.
At a nursing home.
Yeah.
So keep that in perspective. And right now there are over 500 cases in the United States. The vast majority of them are in California and Washington State. Mm-hmm. And if you go to a map right now, you'll see one case here, one case there.
Right.
Some cases up in New York State, New York City.
Right.
Grew on the weekend. But for the most part, if you compare it to the regular flu season, this is still minimal.
Yeah. Yes. And the clearly some might say, well, this is a little bit worse than the flu, and that might be true, but still, I think the reaction thus far is way overhyped. But unfortunately, it's a snowball effect.
Yes.
The overreaction, if you want to call it that, of the markets and of the consumers, because that's what it boils down to, is
yes.
People aren't traveling as much, people aren't flying as much, some of the supply chains were disrupted there for a month or two in China. So it shows how interconnected our economies are.
Yeah.
And the snowball effect, even if it's, you know, even if you disagree with the severity of this or the lack thereof, the snowball effect is already
going. Well, perception, as the old saying, perception is reality. So yes. You have to deal with this. The other thing is, if you're leaders, if you're political leaders, government leaders, economic leaders, whatever, you're having to deal with this. Another thing is with the news media, it's if it bleeds, it leads.
Yes.
Right? The old expression.
Mm-hmm.
And so they thrive. It's kind of like the Weather Channel with the hurricane out there in the Gulf.
Yeah.
Okay? They know that they're going to generate viewers mm-hmm. by people if they have the ominous music sound every 5 minutes with tracking hurricane. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So-and-so. And then they have Jim Cantore standing on the beach, you know, waiting on the hurricane to get
and
there.
And if the hurricane goes away, that's not good for the news industry.
Well, it's
no
not good for the
cover.
Weather Channel. Now, yeah. I'm not trying to impugn the... I'm not trying to say that those people hope for disaster. I'm not
sure.
Saying that or anything. I'm just saying that they benefit from eyeballs mm-hmm. watching the news. And it's the same way with the news media and some kind of a situation like this, it generates more people to tune in and to panic, if you will.
And to add to that, you have the added political factor right now, pardon me, of a Democratic Party and media who hate Donald Trump.
Yes.
So
you've noticed this?
and they're willing to use this mm-hmm. coronavirus to make Trump look bad. To that point, White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham interviewed on the weekend, just asking everybody to stop playing politics with the coronavirus. Cut three.
I just want to stress to politicians and the media to stop using this as a tool to politicize things and to scare people. It's not responsible. This is not the time for this. People need to be looking to the CDC for guidance. People need to be, again, washing their hands, treating this like a flu, making responsible choices. This is absolutely not the time to be trying to scare people to gain political points or to get headlines.
Yes, it's wishful thinking. She's right,
mm-hmm.
but it's wishful thinking. The media is not going to let up on this.
Yeah.
Also interviewed this morning on Fox and Friends, Dr. Anthony Fauci, saying the Trump administration, they're on top. They're doing everything they can right now with regards to monitoring this, keeping up with it, and trying to give advice on how to minimize the spread of this. Cut number 12.
Are you happy with the efforts coming out of this administration with this task force?
Well, yes. I mean, you could not be working any harder. I mean, this is a task force that is together by phone with pre-calls a day, every day, a couple of times, and then an actual physical meeting in the White House every day. So this is a group that's very, very much on top of this. People who have other important jobs coming together every single day to get reports and to make decisions and to develop policy and to develop guidelines. So It's a group that's all in, that's for sure.
And one of the things that's happening, just one of the incidents, this cruise ship that's been off the coast of San Francisco is going to dock in Oakland this morning. There are, I believe, 21 cases, verified cases, the coronavirus on board. Those 21 will be taken to area hospitals and quarantined in an area there. The other passengers are going to be taken to various military bases. This is an example of what the government is doing. Taken to various military bases, they'll be kept there for 2 weeks in quarantine on these military bases just to ensure it hasn't passed on to anybody else. Those are the kinds of things that are being done right now. Like one of the speakers, keep washing your hands, folks. Just watch those kind of things. Somebody was telling me they were listening to Pastor Robert Jeffress at his church yesterday. He kind of made a rule, till this passes, no handshaking at church.
Right.
You know, just fist pump.
Yeah, and this morning, Dr. Oz was on Fox and Friends, and he was giving some advice. And here's what he said. He said this towards the end of the segment. Dr. Oz on Fox and Friends said, quote, "I think we're causing more harm to each other with the anxiety of the virus
yes.
than the actual virus is causing harm,"
yes.
which is true to mm-hmm. a certain extent. So, yeah. I mean, these guidelines by the CDC are basic sanitary, wash your hands.
Yes.
You know, if someone's sick.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Wash your hands 3 or 4 times a day. And fist pump's fine with me. Or yesterday at church, they were recommending a virtual hug. So we did a virtual hug. But anyway, the situation is, you know, be smart, right?
Sure.
Use practical healthy
precautions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. precautions. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman, Walker Wildman, and Fred Jackson. Hey, the Benham brothers will be with us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to those guys. And then we'll also talk to a state senator from Mississippi who has introduced a bill, Angela Hill is her name, to respond to males wanting to play girls' sports in the state of Mississippi, and that's happening around the country. We see that. But it's happening around the country more and more because of the transgendered movement where boys are being able to enter girls' competition. And then everybody's supposed to act like they're a girl. it's nuts, but that's what we're seeing. So we'll talk more about that later. You're listening again to the radio program Today's Issues. Fred, next story.
Another round of primaries tomorrow, and the most watched state is a key state. Michigan is amongst 6 or 7 primaries tomorrow. And it is key, especially a lot of people are saying it's key for Bernie Sanders. Now, in 2016, Sanders beat Hillary Clinton in the state of Michigan. And Donald Trump won the state in the election, but in the primary, the Democratic primary, that's where Bernie Sanders beat Hillary Clinton. Now, given the current momentum of former Vice President Joe Biden, everybody's kind of watching. Is if Biden wins Michigan, some people are saying that's going to be it for the Bernie Sanders campaign. Some people are saying that. Anyway, over the weekend, Biden campaigning, Bernie Sanders campaigning. Biden, once again, in a misspeak on the weekend. And want to play that for you right now, cut number 4. It's actually a compilation of some of the things that Joe Biden said on the weekend. Cut number 4.
I have the National Firefighters. What I even, I ponder, though, is the incredible enthusiasm and excitement this campaign has generated. Folks, a lifelong Democrat, a proud Democrat, an Biden-Obama Democrat, we're going to bring together Americans of every race, ethnicity, gender, economic station, Democrats. If you think big enough and bold enough to build the future of this nation, the one that it deserves. We can do this by building on Obamacare, increasing exponentially the prospects of their success.
Was that from over the weekend? Just from over the weekend?
That was a compilation. It goes back a little bit. But he also got his words of elect and reelect mixed up too.
What did he say? He said reelect Trump, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, help us reelect Donald Trump.
We can only reelect Donald
Why
Trump.
Why is he slurring his words so much? Somebody said it's something on his dentures. You ever heard that?
They could be. I know they and I'm not
I don't
joking.
Even know if I don't even know if he has dentures.
Well, I'm not trying to make a joke here, but seriously, during a debate about 3 to 4 months ago, his dentures did start to fall out during the debate. One of his responses.
You're kidding.
No, I'm being serious. We all saw the video.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I think it goes beyond that problem though.
I think so. Yeah, it's cognitive.
It is.
President Trump said it this way. He says, quote, something's going on there. Talking about former Vice President Biden's health, you could say. And everybody sees it. Even the Democrats are acknowledging it. That, you know, that he's not 100%.
Yeah.
And, you know, the sad thing about it is, to me, is if that were my dad or if that were me, I would expect my family to intervene and to tell me either, Dad, you may not realize it, but you're slurring a lot of your words. Hmm. You're getting confused often, and this is not a good thing to do.
No.
Is to keep running for president of the United States, and we ain't even got to the fall yet, and we ain't got on a debate stage with President Trump. But I guess they're all in now. It's too late for that, so they're just going to let him roll.
And I think that's the problem for the Democratic Party. They understand they don't have a hope with Bernie Sanders and his far left socialist agenda.
Right.
So all they got right now is Joe Biden. You know, Cory Booker on the weekend, Senator Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, they came out and endorsed Biden. I think the situation with the Democratic Party right now, the DNC, is we got to put Biden out there because Bernie's too dangerous. We stand a better chance of getting down ballot victories with Biden than we would if Sanders was at the top of the ticket. I think that's where the Democratic Party is right now. It's not a good place to be.
Yeah.
For a political party this close to the election.
Yeah, and unfortunately we're already this is so much underway, meaning the primary and the election cycle, that, you know, we'll never know what's going on with Biden.
No.
With his issues. Meaning, what I mean is, they're not. It's not like they're gonna. His family's gonna take him and get him tested.
Yeah, but if he has some sort of medical condition like dementia, for example, then that's not gonna get better. That's gonna get worse.
Correct.
And it's gonna. And you talk about a man flying around the country speaking two times a day. Keeping that kind of schedule up that you have to do to run for president, like we all saw President Trump do last time when he was a candidate, you know, he would do 4, 5, 6 rallies a day.
Right.
Now, he's an unusual physical specimen.
Sure.
I'm talking about President Trump. I think he's got great genes, from what I can tell, in terms of, now he's a little bit younger than Biden too. He's like 4 or 5.
73.
He's 4 or 5 years younger than Joe Biden. And it makes a difference when you get into your 70s. Difference between a 70-year-old and a 78-year-old, for example, or something like that. But, you know, that's taxing. That would be taxing enough on a 45-year-old, much less a 78-year-old man doing that kind of schedule. You talk about being confused about where you are and what you're doing and who's with you. Mm-hmm. With his already gaffe-prone personality, talking about Joe Biden, that's a recipe for disaster. Let's be honest here. All right, we shall return with more in a minute with the Benham brothers, Jason and David Benham. They're coming up in just a moment. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. and you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and folks, Liberty University believes a private Christian education should be affordable to everyone. That's great, right? It doesn't matter if you're from California or Maine or anywhere in between, you may qualify for up to $20,780 over 4 years through Liberty's Middle America Scholarship. For more information, text MAS to the number 839-858 today. Again, that's MAS to the number 839-858. From Cookeville, Tennessee, comes a story about love and sacrifice in the midst of a terrible storm. Pastor Darren Crockett and his family were fast asleep when the storm clouds billowed, but it was a restless night for Doc, the family's dog. He would not stop barking. At one point, Pastor Darren asked God to intervene so they could get a good night's rest. Fortunately, the Lord did not answer that prayer. It turns out Doc was trying to warn the Crockett family about the approaching tornado. And had the dog been quiet, the pastor would have never heard the storm alert warning buzzing on his phone. Thanks to the dog's barking, the family was able to find shelter in the laundry room just moments before their home was destroyed. The Crockett family survived, but their beloved dog perished in the storm. It will forever be the day when the Crockett family of Cookeville, Tennessee, was saved by man's best friend. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, what, fellas, this no touching your face thing, it's kind of like when somebody tells you, don't touch your face, then you start thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of like, I dare you not to blink. What are you going to do? After about 5 seconds, you're going to blink. So, anyway, we'll see. That's one of the healthy advices. There you go. You touch
well,
your...
Well, nah, no, I use my
vest. No, you use
vest.
Your clothing.
Yeah.
But what if it's on your clothing?
Well, and you're rubbing your face. The key is not getting it on your clothing.
How do you know?
Well, if I have dirty hands and then I grab my vest, then it's on my clothing.
Okay.
The germs.
Well, during the break, I washed my hands twice.
And we have a big orange container on the desk, too.
Yeah.
Woody Walker brought these in here.
Yeah, and I use these even without the hype of the virus.
He does.
I use that during flu season.
Disinfecting wipes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We
this
will.
Just, yeah.
Like, disinfecting wipes.
Yeah, it's off-brand. I was going to say Clorox, but it's off-brand.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you would like to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We, as always, thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Walker told you earlier in the program, you can go to Facebook or YouTube, type in Today's Issues, and listen, watch the show there. We're posting the stories that we're discussing. Fred's giving them to Brent, and Brent's posting the stories that we're discussing on our Facebook page. Type in Today's Issues. You can watch the show there, comment, also get the stories we're talking about, as well as on our YouTube channel. You don't call it a channel, though, do you?
Yeah, it's a YouTube channel.
Okay. Type in Today's Issues. We have a couple guests, Walker.
Yes, sir. I want to welcome Jason and David Benham, the Benham brothers, on to today's issues to talk about their latest project. Jason and David, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us, guys.
Tell us a little bit. Glad to have you guys. Go ahead.
Hey, I was just going to tell you, the minute you said we're not supposed to be touching our face, for some reason I just couldn't stop but touch my nose. What did you do that for?
I know, it's like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of like seeing somebody yawn, you know, and then what are you going to do? You know you're going to yawn if you see somebody yawn.
And my face started feeling like it was itchy, too. I was thinking about it the whole time, so I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, no problem. We'll be glad to remind you that. Hey, Jason and David, tell us a little bit about...
You better ask one of them or both of them will answer.
Well, I'm sure you guys got this thing figured out on who goes first and who goes second, right?
We always let David
That's exactly
go first.
Right.
Otherwise,
there you go.
Is a hissy fit.
Sound like a Democrat. Sound like a Democrat debate here already.
Hey, guys, tell us a little bit about your latest project called Expert Ownership. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, this is David speaking. I always go first. I'm the older, the smarter. So Jason knows. He's kind of settled into second place. But Jason and I see around the country, when we look at values, especially with kind of the mainstream media and the rise of the radical left, big business has all but sold their souls to do the bidding of Planned Parenthood and just this sexual revolution. And I know you guys see this. We see it. And we really felt in our heart the core of America, 80% of our productivity comes out of small business. So my brother and I, that's what we are. We're small business owners. We're serial entrepreneurs, and we really want to equip entrepreneurs across the country to build their companies based on values, because the same values that made this nation great still make companies great today. So we released this product called, or we're releasing it later this week. It's called Expert Ownership: How to Own a Business Without It Owning You. And in very practical ways, we talk about how small business owners can scale through systems, how you can build your team, how you can lead your people, manage your money. And it's a very practical online tool that's downloadable. It comes with a workbook, action guides, resource guides. We actually have a system tool on how to build simple systems inside your business that are very helpful for companies. And on top of that, we talk all about the work-life balance and how you don't have to trade your soul to make money, how you don't have to trade your soul to do the bidding of the radical left, that you can actually stand for values in this country, which is kind of what Jason and I, that's our story. So we wanted to help others do it. We've been traveling the country for the last 5 years, ever since we got fired by HGTV, and just encouraging people, look, these values that we have based in Scripture, this worldview leads to human flourishing. It leads to strong businesses. It leads to successful families. And we want to help others do that. So this is why we released this product right now.
Jason, I want to ask you a question. It seems like, and David hinted at this, but you know, corporate America seems to traditionally and pretty much for the most part be liberal, with the exception of a few companies. But that struggle that we've been facing, the corporate backlash against our Christianity, I guess you could call it, do you see that pendulum swinging back to where we could actually start seeing companies share Christian values?
I do. In a very small way, it's already starting to happen. But, you know, like even with the recent Chick-fil-A, where they kind of backed away from the Salvation Army and some other great ministries, and then kind of went the direction of other nonprofit organizations that a lot of us would not agree with. Mm-hmm. We see little things like that happening, but at the same time, we see other... right now, David and I are kind of seeing a rumbling of small businesses. We haven't quite seen the big businesses yet, but, you know, the small business, like what David said, that's what America was built on anyway. But we're seeing some small business owners say, you know what? Enough's enough. I need to get my business uber profitable, and I need to take that profit, and we need to do something that's going to help change culture and get us moving in the right direction. It's happening. It's a small little spark right now, but we want to be a part of turning it into a wildfire. As Billy Graham said before he died, that he really believed the next great move of God would start in the marketplace. Even his grandson, Will Graham, said that he really, really, really believed that. And so David and I just said, you know what? We've been traveling and encouraging Christians to stand strong for the last 6 years. Now let's get hyper-niched and really go after business owners and entrepreneurs, leaders of companies, both for-profit and non-profit, and really help them become awesome at business. And hopefully we'll see the wealth of the wicked transferred to the righteous.
Hey, guys, it's Fred Jackson here. I was just wondering, I'm sure we have a lot of listeners right now who thinking, okay, how do I start a business? What do you say to someone about starting a business in their home? Is that how a lot of businesses do get started?
Yeah, and this is David speaking, and yes, you want to start small. We're not talking to the folks that go out there and raise a bunch of private money. We're not talking about that. You today, with the fractured business model, I mean, you can start so small, you can start right out of your house. The world is online. The world is digital. People can, if you've got a dream, we actually, in our course that's releasing, the second part of the course that releases in a few months, we talk about ideation on how to take ideas and turn them into a reality to make money for your family. But you can start small, and that's what we teach people to do. Just start small. Business runs in four stages: concept, prove, launch, and scale. And you want to start with a concept, run it through this ideation grid that we have, and then you prove it. You just start small. You start online. Just drip it out a little bit, whether it's a good or whether it's a service. Just start small. And then we talk about let money be your boundary. So however the money is coming in, you let that be your boundary. You don't let debt be your boundary, because if debt is your boundary, then you might end up bankrupting yourself. So yes, start small. Even if you're working in a company right now, you can even start little side hustles on the side. I mean, there's hundreds of business ideas as side hustles. And then eventually, it could turn into a company. And this is Jason. I want to piggyback on that. There's two questions we always tell entrepreneurs that they need to ask themselves. If they're sitting at home and they're like, okay, I want to start a little business right out of my house. The first question is, can I solve a problem? The second question is, can I make something better? So you ask those two questions. And then if you can solve a problem or you can make something better, then go out there and do it, and you've got yourself a business.
Jason and David, hey, guys, I know you guys are going to announce this later this week. When you guys announce this, what's the best way for our listeners to find out about it?
If you go to BenhamBrothers.com, B as in boy, E, N as in Nancy, H-A-M as in Mary, BenhamBrothers.com, it will all be available right through there. And it'll really be tremendously helpful. And I do want to say one thing real quick. Speaking of Jason saying making things better, I want to make his comment better because he didn't quite finish the thought. But if you're going to start a business, Fred, back to your question on starting a business, the culture, and a lot of business owners entrepreneur guru coaches will say, look for profit pools. Go out and look for profit pools and chase where the money is. We don't say that. As believers, we say, look for problem pools. How can we solve problems and do it in a way that really not only honors God, but truly helps people, and you can do it in a way that can help the most people? So we look for problem pools, and when you solve problems, profit will chase you down.
Mm, amen. All right, there you go. BenhamBrothers.com, B-E-N-H-A-M, brothers.com. Jason and David, thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Thank you very much for having us.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, fellas. That's the Benham Brothers joining us from, I think,
North Carolina.
North Carolina. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you got money invested in the stock market, don't look. Okay. That makes you want to look, right? When I tell them don't look. Anyway, has it come back at all?
No, a little bit. It's still down 1,200 points.
Yeah, but that's better.
It was 2,000.
It was over 2,000 an hour and a half ago.
President Trump tweeted a little while ago. He said, Saudi Arabia and Russia are arguing over the price and flow of oil. That and the fake news is the reason for the market drop, is what President Trump said. Let me just say this about President Trump, Vice President Pence. This is a leadership moment for them. And I think a lot of Americans are watching to see. I mean, there are a lot of leadership moments along the way of a presidency, right, over a four-year period. I think first of all, Vice President Pence, from everything I've seen and heard, is handling himself extraordinarily well.
Yeah.
And also, this is kind of the first time that he's been able to come out from under the shadow of President Trump and take a leadership position on a major, major issue mm-hmm. that the American people get to see him lead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Y'all agree with me on that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I've been very impressed with Vice President Pence so far on the coronavirus.
You know, he was encouraging people to relax a little bit, Vice President Pence. He said, take that vacation. Just be careful. Do the regular hike.
Right.
But take the vacation. A lot of people say, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to stay in my house until this passes.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's no need to do that.
Yeah.
Just be practical.
But now, here's the – President Trump is in a – he's in a fishbowl, mm-hmm. right? We know that, as every president is. you walk a line, maybe that a line's not the way to say this. I'm just, he's in a situation where, as President of the United States, leader of the free world, everybody's watching what he has to say about the coronavirus situation and its impact on our culture, on our society, on our country, and on our world. So while he doesn't need to act, and I'm not saying he has, but he doesn't need to act in any way nonchalant about this in the sense that you act like it isn't a real deal, that it's just fake news, because it isn't. And I'm not suggesting, again, that President Trump has said that, but he needs to avoid coming across that way mm-hmm. To the public, while at the same time, he needs to talk about how this is built up out of proportion, and that is true. A lot of it's fake news, and encouraging the Americans to go about your daily lives mm-hmm. here and not hide out in your house, you know, with your Lysol spray,
mm-hmm.
huh?
Right.
And because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy in the sense that, you know, people start doing that kind of thing, and it hurts everybody. It hurts the overall economy. So, you know, that's just a situation that the president, you have to make judgment calls. Sometimes things don't look good. Like, I don't know, you know, do you go to the golf course when this is bad news?
Come on, as the president.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's always a President Obama. I remember the worst moment he had probably public relations wise was, and I don't begrudge a president for going on vacation or going to a sporting event or mm-hmm. golfing or fishing or whatever. President Reagan used to chop wood. You know, whatever you do for a stress reliever.
Sure.
Every president, Republican or Democrat, certainly deserves that, right? So I don't, but you remember one of the worst moments President Obama had public relations wise was when he held a press conference talking about an American that was being held hostage.
Daniel Page, was it?
Yeah, and he had been beheaded.
Yes.
Remember this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think President Obama was announcing that. Well, it showed him 10 minutes later on the golf course yakking it up and high-fiving
yeah.
with a couple of his buddies because he had gone directly from that press conference or that announcement in a suit and tie, you know, basically a very somber thing saying one of our fellow Americans had his head whacked off, cut off mm-hmm. by an Islamic jihadist. And then 10 minutes later, you're on the golf course like nothing ever happened. You see what I'm saying? It's
yeah,
kind of surreal.
The optics there are not good at all.
Kind of surreal.
Right.
And maybe he should have allowed a day between,
sure.
you know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying to you is President Trump needs to avoid that same kind of situation where you seem to be aloof to the reality of the seriousness of the situation that exists. And I'm not saying he has President Trump yet, but I hope he doesn't fall into one of those moments. He did go to the golf course on Saturday, but guess what? I did too.
Yeah.
And as did millions of Americans who also went fishing and
sure.
went to baseball games and went about their daily lives. So I don't think the president has to say, I'm going to stay hunkered down in the Oval Office, you know, behind my desk 24/7 until this virus is gone.
That's right.
But you have to be careful with the optics, as you say, Walker, when you're president of the United States. You are listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you would like to send us an email, go to comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. What do you think boys should be able to compete against girls in sports? That's the question a lot of people are dealing with across the country and around the world. And the vast majority of people say that's crazy. Well, it may be crazy, and it is, but there are people in leadership positions around the world who say as long as a boy says he's a girl, he should be able to compete against the young ladies. Well, some states are trying to do something to prevent this from happening. Angela Hill is a state senator here in our home state of Mississippi, and she has introduced some legislation that will address this issue, and Senator Hill joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Where are you today?
I am still in Picayune in South Mississippi. We'll be heading to Jackson right after lunch.
Hey, by the way, don't touch your face.
And wash your hands.
While we talk, don't touch your face. Senator Hill, I want to ask you, going to Jackson, the legislature of the state is going ahead with their business here. Are you the one who introduced SB 2240?
Yes, I did, and there was also a companion bill introduced in the House by Representative Stacey Wilkes.
What does it do?
It basically says that for girls-only teams, girls will only compete. That boys who think they're girls will not come over into a girls-only team and compete against those girls.
So would the wording say something like biological males cannot compete?
Yes, okay. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, basically biological males will not compete against biological females female-only teams. That's basically the language.
When will this be voted on?
Well, the bill died in committee. The committee deadlines was last Tuesday, and both the House bill and the Senate bill died in committee.
Why?
The House bill died in the Judiciary B committee in the House. The Senate bill died in the Senate Education Committee in the Senate. It was double referred to Education and Universities and Colleges in the Senate. It was only referred to Judiciary B in the House, but all the bills are dead. But we had a bill that came through the Senate last week that was germane to the subject matter, dealt with Mississippi High School Athletic Association and open records, and I was able to get a floor amendment added to that bill, 2351, to add the high school portion of the Sports Fairness Act, or Saving Women's Sports, into that bill, 2351. It was about a 34-12 vote on the amendment and then a 35-15 vote on the actual bill after the amendment got incorporated. And it was held on a motion to reconsider, so by the Democrat Vice Chairman of Education. So we got to get it off that motion to reconsider calendar and send it to the House.
Is anybody in Jackson, in the state legislature, in the Senate, or the House saying no? You're wrong, Senator Hill, that boys should be allowed to compete against girls?
Apparently every Democrat in the Senate that voted against it feels like we're wrong, but it was basically a party-line vote. I believe 99 or 100% of the Republicans voted for the amendment. All the Democrats voted against it.
Senator Fred Jackson here. Mississippi is a conservative state, and one that still treasures family values. I just find it remarkable that we have lawmakers in this state who would say it's okay for boys to compete against my daughters.
But Democrats.
Yeah, I find that very disturbing as well. And, there was some polling done in late February across the state, and basically the question was asked, would you support a law that prohibited biological males from coming over and competing against females and taking their scholarships and their trophies? And overall, it polled at about 79% across the state.
Mm-hmm. Senator Hill,
Yeah.
It went across party lines. The favorability of this went across party lines.
Yeah, Senator Hill, this is Walker here. I just want to make one point that for those who say this, they say, well, you know, we don't have a case of this yet happening in Mississippi. We're being, you know, overly paranoid, et cetera, et cetera. I would just say, and this is to your point, that we don't need to wait until this is happening.
It's already happened in several states.
Correct, correct. Oh, we don't need to wait till this happens in our backyard to then take defensive measures. We need to be proactive. There's no downside to being proactive here.
None whatsoever. And Mississippi is one of six states that does not have a policy. You know, some states are very liberal, and they're, you know, they're protective of this. You know, they want it to be able to happen. But we know that it's wrong. We know that girls need to be able to compete on a fair playing field. We know that Title IX since 1972 has said that, you know, we're going to have separate sports teams for girls, and we're going to foster the girls' rights to have their own sports teams. And, you know, if we don't protect women's sports, we're just gutting everything that Title IX has meant for 50 years.
Well, you'll see a massive drop-off in participation in all of women's athletics if this is not stopped.
I would think that somebody would want the policy in place before it happens because, it's just it's like an ant hill with ants, you know, just crawling everywhere whenever you get into litigation and you don't already have a policy in place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mississippi Senator Angela Hill joining us right now. So are you, people who live in the Magnolia State, are you asking them to call and or contact their, their senators or their House members or what? Or is there any action to take right now?
Well, I mean, I think you definitely can email your House members and your Senate members and say that you support this amendment and you support this bill. We actually need this whole bill because we need community colleges and IHL to be covered. We may not can get the whole bill this year since it died in committee. Maybe we can get it incorporated into another bill during conference.
Yeah.
But yeah, let your thoughts be known to your legislators and your leadership on both sides that you want this done.
Yeah.
That you don't want to wait until we're in a mess of litigation. That we want a policy in place.
Yes.
And we want to be protected.
Thank you, Senator Hill. Appreciate your hard work on this. God bless you.
Thank you.
That's Senator Angela Hill. And I would just say this too: if this kind of legislation is introduced in your state, please let us know about it. We're trying to track this, but you can send us an email at comments@afr.net, or put it up on our, that's would be the best way, put it up on our Facebook page for today's issues. What I'm saying is we have emails in all 50 states, hundreds or sometimes thousands and thousands of people who get our emails here at American Family Association. If there is a law pending in your state, a bill in your state which addresses this issue of boys being allowed to compete against girls, like Angela Hill talked about there, the senator from Mississippi, we can activate people in your state to get involved on this via emails or our radio program. But if we don't know about it, we can't do anything to help. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Fred, thank you, my friend.
You're all welcome.
You know, I don't think you touched your face one time that I...
I'm holding my hand down.
You are. Go wash your hands.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we shall return in 5 minutes with more of today's issues with Steve Jordahl, and Walker will be back with me. We'll see you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.